It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Oh, I just got a little bit afraid. Oh, I usually don't get afraid. I got afraid. I just got a fear just like a minute ago. Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, nobody's perfect. You know, I'm doing the best I can. But my producer, which also happens to be my 20-year-old daughter, the youngest of my four children, and she's great at it. I mean, I'll tell you, you know, she is a treat to have around, smart as a whip. But she definitely demonstrated something here that, even my kids, you know, they need some edumacation. This is what's going on. She's setting up, she does the scheduling and so on for guests for the show and such. And Thursday we have Bill Buepert, William Buepert. He writes for LouRockwell.com a lot. He's speaking at the Freedom Summit this year and did a forum last year at one. And he's spoken at Freedom Fest and so on. And his claim to fame is he's very well versed on the Articles of Confederation. Well, we also had the same day. This will be Thursday afternoon. They'll come on. Tomorrow we have Mark Victor. He's going to come in second half of the show and give us what for on Pastor Anderson's case. He won on the checkpoint, or they beat him and charged him all kinds of stuff. You know, two not guilty verdicts by a jury. We'll talk about that. The baseline killer and, you know, this amping up on the city of Phoenix. And this happens everywhere, you know. And I got to talk about Los Angeles today. We'll get into some other stuff. But first, I want to preface this with this. She has scheduled Bill Buepert Thursday afternoon. We'll come in and we'll talk about the history and how the government actually worked under the Articles of Confederation, which was the government that the states had. They already had their state legislatures and so on, and they had agreements between them. And Alexander Hamilton, you know, got them. Yeah, we need to fix this weight and measure thing, you know, how the money worked. This, you know, we're just come on over to Philadelphia. You know, we'll have wine, women, and song, and whatever the heck, you know, get them to come. They had delegations of your state, and we're going to talk about it. So they come, and then it was very clear immediately what was going on to a lot of people. And so the delegation from Delaware and I think Rhode Island, too, and they said, nah, we see what you're doing, you scumbag. We're out of here. Well, they continued to meet and, you know, talk about whatever. And eventually they came up with the Constitution. And when they presented this to the states, a lot of them, I mean, Rhode Island didn't sign on. So what did the rest of the Constitution do? They boycotted Rhode Island. It's like an act of war. They go, you're going to be part of this one way or another, buddy, or you ain't trading, y'all. So that's how they coerced them in. And then you had Patrick Henry, Give Me Liberty, Give Me Death, was governor of Virginia. For 4 hours, he's going on to the state legislature, don't ratify this thing. This is all about the power, the power, the power. You know, the power to regulate commerce, the power to tax, the power of eminent domain. He's going, we just freed ourselves from the king. We're going to give all our land to a central government if they want it. They just claim eminent domain, you know, for public purposes, and we go, no. And then who's going to decide? Their Supreme Court that they stacked with their guys to begin with. You see what I mean? So he's going, no, heck no. So that's what was the impetus for the Bill of Rights. That's why that was the only way that they were going to, you know, stave off another revolution against their own central plan here. Immediately after that is when they wanted to fund it. And Alexander Hamilton was going on about how, you know, oh, if you don't have the ability to tax, how can you fund a sustained war? as if that was a primary goal. I'm going, wow, good enough reason not to do it. Well, what happened was they wanted to have the ability to tax. Well, one of the ways that they did that was they said, okay, we're going to go ahead and tax whiskey. Well, that they didn't like that none too much. So what did they do? So they came up with the Whiskey Rebellion out of Pennsylvania. And they had Shays Rebellion going on, and they had all these others. And it was just, you know, look, didn't we free ourselves? Now I got, you know, it's like that scene from The Patriot. Tell me, what's the difference of having a tyrannical government 3,000 miles away or 3,000 people 1 mile away? I mean, you know, what, you know, and the benefit is what? So my producer comes in and says, he's going to be talking about what's the Articles of Confederation? And she went to private school for 6 years. And I'm like, wow. And I'm sure she's heard me talking about it. And just, you know, I kind of assumed that she understood. At least she's not embarrassed to ask. And I'm going, you know, that's why we're doing this show. We have someone that's an expert and well-versed and has a lot of historical perspective on the Articles of Confederation and how it was stripped. In fact, he gave this presentation, debated a proponent of the Constitution at the Freedom Fest this last June in Las Vegas. And I know Bill well, and we've done this show before, but man, I'm for claiming this whole thing jacked up, go back to the States, and it's already there. In fact, that's what we were until he ripped it off. You know, to think that the Constitution has anything to do with the Declaration of Independence means you don't know your history. It wouldn't even gleam in anybody that was so far away from what they were advocating, which is also why Thomas Jefferson freaked out about it. And when he became president, he did away with a bunch of the, you know, this pomp and circumstance stuff, man. He said, oh, heck no, we're not royalty. He's answering the door in his slippers, the White House. I mean, this was done on the swamp there. Unlimited resources up. One of the biggest debts they went was building Washington. So, and then, of course, it's got all the conspiracies about how they did that, too. So that's a whole other thing. So then, I'm like, that's why we need to do this show. So Thursday, we're going to be doing that, along with Karen Kwiatkowski. Karen Kwiatkowski was a lieutenant colonel at the Pentagon. She was worked at the North Africa desk. It was right there where the Office of Special Plans was. Rumsfeld and Cheney going in and out and so on, and she was spilling her guts on Colonel Hackworth's page and under a pseudonym. And they just assumed whoever's writing these articles and leaking what was going on behind the scenes in their error, chauvinist arrogance, they just assumed it was a man. It just never occurred to them that it was a lieutenant colonel woman sitting right there in front of them. And also, she's one of my bestest buddies. So she spoke at the Freedom Summit, too, and been on the show quite a few times. So she's going to, you know, talk to us about an article that she did called The Wolf You Feed. And it's about the military-industrial complex. You know, there was a documentary that they did. It was called Why We Fight. And you can find that on Google. You know what? I'll go ahead and take and embed today's archive show. You go to freedomsphoenix.com and you'll see today's show. What is it? August 31st, afternoon show. We'll have up there. You click on that and I'll have a link to Why We Fight video. And it's a DVD, a movie, but I'm sure it's on Google Video somewhere. I'll go find it and put it up. And Why We Fight. And it was a great documentary of just the history of the military-industrial complex. And we fight to make money for some people. But it's, of course, it's a enormous cost in resources and future debt of the next generation and purchasing power and lifestyle for us and, of course, in lives and a loss of goodwill towards us as we go, like, beat up everybody. We fight not because even to win the war or whatever it is that we're fighting. These wars are not meant to be won. They're meant to be fought over and over and over, and we still got more coming. So that I just wanted to bring that up because I'm just like, you know, what's the Articles of Confederation? Well, I need to know more about it, too. I mean, you know, I've done enough research and see. And a lot of it came out. If you read the Anti-Federalist Papers, you know, I found that to be very interesting because all the promises that were made in the Federalist Papers, oh, we're going to do this, and we have this phrase and this line and this sentence and this is what we mean and this is what we're going to do. Of course, you would think that'd have some weight when you go to court. You go to a Supreme Court justice and you say, hey, well, they said this is what it meant. And they go, eh, I get to interpret any way I want because you know what? They weren't vested with the authority to interpret it. I was. We were. As a Supreme Court, we're going to do whatever the heck we want. Really? That was the plan. That's how it works. So we're going to go ahead and, you know, take a look at that and see where, you know, it may, you know, by default, just by, you know, bankruptcy and evaporation of the United States government, you know, you never know what's going to happen. We might be going back to our Confederation whether we like it or not. Or that's basically what will happen when the states claim sovereignty. You know, so that's Thursday. And Karen Kwiatkowski about the military-industrial complex, that will be interesting as well. So you guys hold on. I got a bunch of other stuff to talk to you about. I'll get into it when we come back here and declare your independence of me, Ernest Hancock from Phoenix, Arizona, here in just a little bit.
There are those that just want to be left alone and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Lunatic Fringe, I know you're out there, and in here, here I am, Lunatic Fringe. Well, it all depends on your perspective, because, you know, we have today, at the top of the hour, we're going to have Maria Heller. We had her on, when was it, end of last week, Friday, I think, and she's a local talk show host that we were talking about the gym that my daughter goes to, and then one of the listeners here happened to come by with a friend of ours that wanted to you go to dinner with us and just, you know, meet and say what's up, take us to dinner. So we went out, and he was saying, he goes, yeah, I was at the gym, and they're registering everybody's fingerprints. And I go, you know, my daughter goes to that gym. She was telling me the same thing. And she's like, no, I'll show my card or license or whatever. She's already knows better. And he did, too. He's like, no, 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 no. They were doing all digits, not just one, all of them. And I'm going, wow, really? And there was a woman that was in there. She's proselytizing, man, or however you say that word. She's out there preaching, man. She's going, you know, hey, 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 everybody, you know, what up? Do you know what this is? And she's not thinking she's going to change anybody's mind. But these young people were, yeah, it's more convenient, yeah, whatever. They don't. She goes, where does that data go to? Seriously, are you sure you want to, you know, do this? And when she got to this one young man, he's like going, oh, heck no, I already know where this is. You know, I listen to Ernest Hancock. So she's like, you know, was interested, and we knew some of the same people. And she's more from a progressive standpoint, the left, you know, Air America type. And he gave me her number, and we interviewed her and talked to her, and we're going, oh, you have interesting things to say in a perspective from someone, you know, it's like a decade older than me. You know, she's in her late 50s probably. And she's, you know, been around the block a little bit and has her sights set on some people. So she'll come in, and we invite her to come down. We'll talk for a little bit. But, you know, a lot of the things we have I don't know how wide a radar screen she has, but mine's pretty wide. You know, we encourage a lot of people to participate on this site, freedomsphoenix.com, and comment and send us this stuff. And a lot of it that's really getting a lot of attention now is the economy, not just here, but around the world. Like, you know, Russia is growing at 4%. You know, China is growing so much that they fear they got a bubble. You know, India is, you know, growing at 8.8%. You know, I mean, you know, this is going to, the economic crash is, it's going to affect everybody, but only if they're in dollars. You know, this whole thing, this drumbeat that they have, well, if they don't back the dollar, then they'll lose all this money in treasuries, and China will suffer, and they don't want, well, they're working their way out regardless. Now, it's starting to go. Well, you know, here we have gold is rallying. You know, it's what, 1250 or whatever it is now. It's going to go 1500, 2000, 50,000. Oh, we don't know. You know, because dollars, it's all about, you know, what your dollar is worth. Well, when people see it's worth nothing, then it's going to be a whole bunch of them to buy gold. And it might not, you know, take as many renminbis or whatever they call the Chinese money. That might not change that much, but dollars sure as heck will. Get your stuff out of dollars. Anything denominated in dollars. Get run out. You know, run away. Get out. You know, this is it's going to get bad. Investors are accumulating enough bullion to fill Switzerland's vaults twice over as gold's most accurate forecasters say the longest rally in at least nine decades has further to go, no matter what the economy holds. An analyst raised their 2011 forecast more than for any other precious metal the past 2 months, predicting a 10th annual advance. Data compiled by Bloomberg show the most, and this is from Bloomberg.com, the most widely held option on gold futures traded in New York is for $1,500 an ounce by December. This is already being done. Gold futures, they are already buying December gold for $1,500 an ounce, or 18% more than the record 1266 reached June 21st. Holdings through bullion-backed exchange-traded products are already at more than 2,075 metric tons, within 0.1% of the all-time high. So this is, everybody's going to gold. They're rushing to gold. But there's one thing that a lot of people aren't really understanding here, is because they're doing holdings through bullion-backed exchange-traded products. That's like mortgage-backed securities. you know, gold-backed securities. Run away! It's still paper. But it'll start to drive it up. You know, or down, or what do they feel like doing? So this is, it's. I tell you what's going to be of value is holding it, you know, or silver. Maybe more with silver. This is, here it comes. Here it comes. And now what a lot of people will do is, because you can leverage, you'll be buying these, you know, gold stocks, you know, and gold companies. You'll be buying these ETFs, what do they call them? Exchange, you know, traded financial instrument, whatever the heck it is. It's paper. Because what happens if you want to take your 401k, your IRAs, your whatever retirement thing and put it into gold, you can't, you know, just take it out and put it into gold and just, you know, take the gold and put it in your safe. No, they got like little lines on paper and say you can't do that. You know, somebody wrote something down. You know, Congress did or whatever because they can. And he said the only way that you can do this is if somebody else holds the gold for you. Well, these little companies here, they will hold it for you. Well, there's been kind of a, you know, I don't know if it's, it certainly violates the spirit of the what the government wanted to have happen. But, you know, it may not violate the law, which is this. Some of these gold coin companies and so on, they're selling gold online, or you go in and they say, you know what, we can help you with the paperwork to where you create some kind of a financial entity, a trust fund, that you can transfer your retirement money over into that trust, and then you delegate somebody that has the authority to hold the gold for the trust, and that person is you. Now, of course, that's not what they wanted to happen. That's, they did everything they could to try and keep that from happening with the legislation. But hey, man, you know, what the heck are the bad guys doing? That's exactly what they're doing. They want somebody to be able to, you know, somebody other than you to hold on to the money, pinky swear we got it. Do they? How much of it? What percentage do they got to have of it? It's gold backed, just like mortgage backed securities. See my point? So they're trying to do it in such a way that you can create a an entity that can be transferred this gold that you purchased with the money from your retirement to get the gold, and then they designate who gets to hold it for them. And a little safe here I got right next to my heart, I got it right here, okay? Well, it happens to be you. Well, competitors, I mean, this is an enormously competitive advantage for some gold dealers to be able to walk you through this, and people that actually want to get their hands on it, and they fill out the forms and get it and do it. And then, of course, some of their competitors are going, hey, that's not fair. You know, they shouldn't be doing that. That's illegal, or it should be. I've been hearing this from gold dealers. They're saying, oh, these guys, and I'm going, I don't know, sounds like a good idea to me. Yeah, but yeah, you shouldn't. That's not what. And their only concern is that they're just getting a bunch of business from them. people are, instead of, you know, cashing in and taking a loss or a tax hit and then purchasing the gold from them, they're going through this other group that's promising they can create their financial profile in such a way that they can wind up, you know, through a bunch of hoops and little forms filled out, that they can actually wind up with the gold in their safe. Well, is that what the bad guys want? Of course not. Thereby, it is illegal, whether it's legal or not. You see my point? So this is, you know, this is going to be amping gold up too. People are starting to pull their retirement in such a way and getting it and taking the hit. Take the tax hit, take the financial hit, take whatever hit it takes, because they know they're going to come out ahead by buying gold. Well, the big boys like Soros and them are doing the very that very thing, buying gold. More bullion that can fill Switzerland's vaults twice over. What's going to happen to the price of gold just from that?
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
There's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop. Children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
Yeah, let's take a look. You know, one thing that's going to really start taking more of our time, and we've been incorporating it into some of our research on Phoenix water supply, just to, I mean, if you're going to defend, you know, what gives you life, I mean, you know, it's not a border. You know, it's sure as heck not a government. It's not a jurisdiction of, you know, some judge or something. It's what keeps me alive. And I tell you, here in the desert, it's, let me think for a second, water, okay? Water. So if I want to go defending the water, well, you know, what am I defending? Am I allowed to do my own well? No. Why? There's water down there. And what, even if there wasn't, what do they care if I drilled a 10-inch hole? I mean, so the they have municipal wells here in Phoenix. They have a lot of water underneath, and then they're going, "Yeah, it's contaminated." Yeah, that's what it is. With what? Well, they had a Motorola plant here, and they said, and Superfund, and then they go, "Ah, nah, no, it's not anymore." So anyway, they got, you know, it's got to go through the municipal well. We know what we're doing. Then they have water treatment plants going, "Okay, so I go defend the water treatment plant. I'm going to defend, you know, my water. I want to save my neighbors and myself. We're going to defend the water." Well, maybe you don't want to. And you know what's in it? You know, let's go in and check on this. So as we start doing research, I'm just, you know, I don't claim to know everything. I just, nothing surprises me anymore. You know, so I know what questions to ask. Okay, what's the plan here? I want to know all this, freedom of information request, that. You know, we've been, this baseline killer thing we'll be talking about tomorrow, we've been working on that for over a year. And we're just now starting to come out with this. You know, I got time, man. I'm good. You know, I got to be hammering on them every day, all day, you know, until I get everything that we know, and then we'll talk about it. Well, we're going to be doing that with the water system and the city of Phoenix. And we're, and it looks to me, well, something I thought might take a few weeks, heck, it might take a few months. You know, I'm going, wow. And one of the things that keeps coming up is this global agenda 21 thing. You know, it's every local community. They didn't even, they're kind of bypassing the federal government, going straight to the local communities, city by city. And the first things they would, you know, it's agriculture, it's water supply, it's what goes in and out of food. And, you know, I'm going, Wow. And the thing that's coming up, they call it Bill S-510. Now, you start seeing, if you're paying attention on the internet and so on, they're going, look, man, they're going to be implementing all kinds of controls on our food supply and so on. One thing that was interesting to me, there was Benjamin Rush was a physician and a signer of the Declaration of Independence. And he said something that was interesting. And we get this story from Barbara Peterson. She runs a site called Farm Wars, FarmWars.info. Farm Wars gets a lot of good stuff, and she posts regularly on Freedom's Phoenix. So we get a lot of, we've had Barbara on. She lives up in Oregon. She worked for, I think she was a prison guard for the state of California for a long time. And finally she just said, I'm good, man. Give me some goats and chickens. I'm going to go out here on the Loon Prairie and survive. And she's, come across a lot of interesting things. Well, Benjamin Rush, physician, signer of Declaration of Independence, he says, unless we put medical freedom into the Constitution, the time will come when medicine will organize itself into an undercover dictatorship, denying equal privileges. All such laws are un-American and despotic. So, of course, and along with a whole bunch of other industries. So this is, you can see where this is going. A lot of these guys that signed the Declaration of Independence were not supporters of the Constitution. In fact, there's very few people that signed both documents. If you control the food supply, you control the people. Well, that's Kissinger, Henry Kissinger. Yeah, he's all about control. They call it Codex Alimentarius. It's Latin for food code or food book. It's a collection of internationally recognized standards, codes of practice, guidelines, and other recommendations relating to foods, food production, and food safety. Its name derived from the Codex Alimentarius Austriacus, whatever the heck that means. Its texts are developed and maintained by the Codex Alimentarius Commission, a body that was established in 1963 by the Food and Agriculture Organization of the United Nations and the World Health Organization. The commission's main aims are stated as being to protect the health of consumers and ensure fair practices in the international food trade. The Codex Alimentarius is recognized by the World Trade Organization. The United States of America has been a World Trade Organization member since January 1, 1995 as an international reference point for the resolution of disputes concerning food safety and consumer protection. Blah, 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 blah. And then they get into this S-510, this bill. So this has been going on a long time. Along with the World Health Organization and so on was, birth control. All throughout Africa and the Mid, what's one place they want to keep population down? Africa, man. You don't hear a lot about it. I always wondered that. As a young man, I was like, what? Africa doesn't have enough resources? Africa doesn't have enough gold, uranium, diamonds, other minerals. Why always Middle East? There's not enough Africa? What? I think the difference with Africa as opposed to the Middle East is that Africa has a whole bunch of people. Lots and lots of jungle, mountains, people, rivers, people, wild animals, people. We got to take care of them people, man. They're too many people. So you start having, all these organizations, these famines and diseases and wars and all this kind of stuff. To think that we're not got our fingerprints on any of that stuff is to be naive. And of course, it's all these organizations going in there, immunizing this and shots that and giving more and everybody keeps, flopping over dead. So I'm going, man, I'm not feeling good about this. How about we just leave people alone? They'll figure it out. Or they won't. What responsibility does my granddaughter have to fund all this stuff all the time? And most of the time, it's the detriment of people that you're saying you're trying to help anyway. So there's something weird going on here. And I started bringing it back home, I'm going, we're going to, things are getting really bad. We need to start thinking about where you live. It's your neighbors. It's your municipal government. It's your small town. It's your city. Where's your water come from? What are the laws about you getting water? In some states, you can't even collect the rainwater that falls on your own property. That rainwater belongs to somebody else other than you. And I'm going, really? I can see, even the logic of you can't collect the water in the ravine that came from somebody else's property flowing through yours onto whatever. I got a question about that, too. It's my property. It's mine as far as I'm concerned. But, but the logic of just what's falling on your property. God blesses me with some rain. Guess what? He gave it to me. You know, you just to think it's, whoa, the rain coming from the sky does not belong to me. It belongs to some other central authority. That's what this eminent domain thing was all about. The United States Constitution, eminent domain. All this land that, you know, it was no longer the king's. Well, guess what? It's ours now. Yay! So I'm going, you know, this is, you know, so this is of basic interest to me. I want to make sure that we understand this. And it's more complex than I anticipated. So what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and understand it. We're going to go ahead and walk through it. We're going to go ahead and see how it goes down to the city. Because that's where it's coming down to. It's coming down to you'll see it in local ordinances. You'll see it mirror different agendas that they have, different legislation, different, you know. But where's the reward? Why would they do that? Because it benefits them in some way. They get, you know, little brownie points for advancement of. Now you get continuation of funding from. You get a little technology for whatever. You get reelected or something. I'm as I scratch the surface on this and I start looking on more and more and more, okay, this requirement, there is a requirement here to be, you know, get your little star on your forehead or something, you know, to do this. Why? And what's the motivation? Seriously, that's it? They go, ooh, you're a model city or something? If you do these five things or you do them so you can get your shiny star? Is that it? Seriously? Do you even know what it does? There's a tanker truck dumping stuff in the water. How often do you test it? Oh. So we're starting to come across a bunch of stuff. I don't get all conspiratorial. I just know if they can do something that's going to give more power and intrusiveness in my life, they will. So I'm finding a bunch of stuff where they can. Now we got a bunch of other goodies to talk about when we come back. You stay right there. Top of the hour, Maria Heller's going to come on in. But I got some more goodies for you in just a little bit. You stay right there.
Rhodes, it's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence. With me, Ernest Hancock, each and every day on RBN Network. You know, I'm sorry, on the Liberty News Radio. I keep forgetting, I'm sorry. You know, the one thing that I wanted to make sure that we got to real quick is I wanted to finish on some of the headlines today before we get into the top of the hour. You know, and the one thing that came up today, I got a call from somebody from Los Angeles. I wanted to share that conversation with you. And in the break, I just got a call from the guys we had on yesterday, the Zeitgeist guys. And I guess they got a lot of response from it. So, they were happy to do it, want to do it again, and gave them something to think about. Because we were nice to them, you know, 2 hours, give them what for. But their whole thing is, look at all these bad things, which was very clear. I mean, I'm hip, man. You know, we're on the same page. All and the solution is what? A resource-based economy where everybody just kind of gives to the collective and we all benefit from technology. And I'm going, okay. You know, we'll see how that works out. And we talked about it. So a lot was learned, and I finally got to do my Zeitgeist show because I've been trying to get somebody to even, you know, that could answer a question. Well, I think they did the best that they could, but, you know, we learned a lot. So that's yesterday's show. You can go listen to that one. But there's a lot of things going on. Let me tell you the conversation I had this morning. There's a gentleman, we'll call him Joe. Joe calls me this morning and he says, hey, you know, I've been looking for help for years. I've been having a problem with the Los Angeles Police Department, and I was doing some searches on the internet, and I see that you guys covered for years a story that's very similar to mine. And I'm like, well, what, pray tell, is that? Well, it involves police helicopters. And I'm like, oh, yep, David DeGroote. David DeGroote is an East Valley man here in the Valley of the Sun, lived in Mesa, and he invented a louver. And it's kind of like, you know, louver blinds that you have. Well, they were probably 1.5 inches wide, and it went over your license plate. So you could perfectly read the license plate if you're like a cop behind or something like that. You wouldn't even know it was there. But from an angle, you couldn't read the license plate from, like, red light cameras or these speed cameras and so on. So all of a sudden, the police, man, they're like, oh, heck no. They didn't like this one little bit. And he was advertising on television. Well, of course, the police are calling the news. You got to get this guy. So they went after him. And he went to Mark Victor, criminal defense attorney, and said, look, I need, you know, the law says this. It has to be read at 100 feet. Well, you can read it. What's the problem? It's within the law. So he goes, you know, this isn't a legal issue. You need to get a ticket. You need to have them cite you. We need to fight. I can't, you know, fight, give you an opinion. It doesn't mean anything. You know, we got to have a ruling. Let's go, man. What you really need is Ernie Hancock. Okay? So at the time, I still own a restaurant, but, you know, Mark and I are good friends, and we know how this rolls. So he goes, go talk to Ernie. And I said, you know, what you need to do is to go ahead, and we'll set up a time where you meet the news reporters, and we need to get a ticket. How are you going to do that? Well, you go down to the traffic enforcement precinct of the Mesa Police Department, and you just make an appointment. You go there, which they did. They go with the ABC film crew. Here they come, or Fox at the time. They keep changing. So Channel 15's there, and they got the cameras trained on him. He pulls in with his brother, which has a video. Can make sure he's got you got to have video. The guy's taking the video. Okay. So he pulls in, and there is the the sergeant, the commander of that precinct or something, and an assistant city attorney. So they're there, and he pulls up, and the officer walks up behind. He gets closer and closer. He goes, yeah, I can read it. Can't read it. I'll give you a ticket. He goes, okay. So he jumps in his car. He drives out on the street, and he comes back. He goes, okay, give me my ticket. Well, the city attorney kind of, and he goes, I wouldn't be prudent at this juncture. We don't want to. He goes, what? Yeah, I got, you know, the television crew standing there, you know, give the boy his ticket. Let's go to court and get this thing adjudicated. Well, the reason they didn't do that is because they were, when he walked up and you couldn't see it, he goes, well, I can't see. You have to get a ticket. And he goes, really? And I told him this. They had just started making pickup trucks that had the tailgate is made to be down, so it has that little cage around it so you can carry more groceries or whatever, you know? So a lot of people would have their tailgate down, especially police officers, because they knew that you can't get a picture of the license plate with their tailgate down. And I said, you just look in the parking lot, and I'll guarantee you there'll be pickups with their tailgates down, and you should point that out to the news crew, and they'll get a picture of it. So that's what they did. He goes, well, I can't read it. He goes, well, you mean, is that why all these officers drive their pickups with the tailgate down? Boom! The TV cameras go up, and they start filming that. So then when he goes, okay. And then right after that, he drove out, did what I instructed him to do, drove out on the street, came back, give me my ticket. Well, the city attorney is like, oh, heck no. They let him go. Problem solved. Done. No. Heck no. The city council, you got the city manager and the police department calling Channel 59. We got sandbag. You tricked us, and we want a redo, and we're going to whatever. And it just kept going on and on and on and on. And finally, they kept buzzing his house with helicopters. They started following his kids. One night, he finally got sick of it, and he took a Q-beam, you know, a spotlight, or allegedly, they say he did, went out and shined it at the helicopter. Hey, man, down, you'll just, you know, quit shining the light on me. And so, oh, you're endangering the lives of them, whatever, and they come banging on the door wanting to get in. They didn't let him in, get a warrant. But they, for years, they harassed this guy. Every time they came in to land, he wasn't, you know, I guess he was close enough to where the helicopter field was. You know, they always go by his house. Every time they came in to bring the helicopter in or to leave, they had to go down low and they buzzed his house. Who are you going to call? Then they are following his daughter to and from work. They had people going, I mean, it was just constant. He finally got a video surveillance down his home that he has hours and hours of them coming up and bugging him. They're cruising in front. They're banging on his door at all hours of the night to give you, I mean, just all kinds of crap going on. Document it. Goes to court. Violates civil rights. It's just, and then who you going to? The city judge. And you have to go through various levels before you get up to whatever. So we're following this, and, you know, eventually it just, you know, got too hot for the officers, and they finally, you know, kind of semi-sort of went away. But it just really devastated his family. Now, so the story we wrote about, well, this guy in Los Angeles, he goes, I got a similar thing. I was a professional basketball player. You know, he was in the World League. He traveled around the world. And now I work for a sports drink or a nutrition thing. It's called CellHydraTech.com. And CellHydraTech.com is a company that he works for. And what happened is he was dating, before his present girlfriend now, he was dating a woman that was dating a cop. Now, he said dating. I don't know if, you know, it might have been his wife or ex-wife or something, for all I know. But, you know, he said he was dating a woman that, you know, this officer did not like it none too much, and he happened to be a helicopter pilot. Well, they're tracking his phones. They're GPSing on his car. They're following. He goes to Palm Springs, man. He gets picked up by officers and helicopters there. He goes, this is like, it's not just here. You're on like a list. And if you blip up on their thing, they got some kind of display or something. They go, ooh, we're supposed to buzz this guy and bug him or something. So he's going, man, this has been going, what can you do to help me? You know, I don't, man, you're up against LAPD and they don't have any consequences. I went through this before. They do it. Oh, but you know what? Coming from Salt Lake City to San Diego, they leave tomorrow. They can, you know, you pay for their gas money. I think I can probably get the Liberty on Tour guys to stop with their RV and say, hello, what's up? Because one of those guys, what is the site that they run? Cop Block. Cop Block. And they getting arrested. They just got arrested in Denver, going to a Denver Broncos game, and ID, because they were having tailgate party out there with everybody else, giving away beer, and the cops were bugging them, wanting their ID, and they're not playing. They haul them off, arrest them, take all their stuff. Fine, of course, they let them go and they get their stuff back. But this happens every city they go. If you don't just kowtow to the man, they are all over your body. And they just go, we know they're going to do it. They're so predictable. We're just going to videotape the videotaper videotaping. And we just put it up. This is what people, you're out in the public. You're in a public area. You're doing anything. These are the things that happen to you down on the ground. Lord forbid you happen to be Mexican. You know, so I'm just going, you know, this is, so I go, you know, I think you need to talk to these guys. Yeah. You bring them by, you know, that money is not an object. You can solve this for me. I go, they can't. So these guys, and it will get worse. You start going after them, it's going to get worse. But, you know, my experience is that once you really start getting in their face, you start making it a public thing, you start getting elected officials, you start really making it, you start costing them money and prestige and suing and going, you know, then, you know, maybe you have a chance and you can live in L.A. Because what the thing is, it's like, you know, Pulp Fiction, you know, they say your L.A. privileges have been revoked. They want to run them out, and they will continue to hassle until they get them to move out of L.A. because one cop doesn't want them there. This is standard operating procedure. This happens all the time. So what do we do? Well, we do what we can. Now I'll have him talk to him. If he can fund them, have them fund, just, you know, because this is what they do anyway. They can show this, you know, and we got skills. So we'll see what happens with that. I'll let you know, because I've already gone through this before. You know, you think you make enemies of officers and that they're not going to, you know, get you, and, oh, my goodness, give them a helicopter. Man, they will bug the snot out of you. So that's what we're going to do. You know, one thing real quick before we get to the break is top of the hour, and we'll have Maria Heller coming in, is Skype. You know, did you know that was a Luxembourg thing to say you're able to do voicemail and voice communications on the internet, and you can do video? Well, they're about ready to go public, and there are some people that want to stop this. You know, well, we'll talk about that more when we come back. I want to let you know this.